With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's hour two of the game after work. Mitch Fortner and Owen Burke, just us two, just hanging out, having a good time.
That's all I'm here for.
Getting into the weekend. You liking this whole sports talk thing?
I do. I do love this. Like, it is something I look forward to. Any day I'm here. So I don't know if you can tell, I take my job as setting the tone for the hour very seriously with Return of the Mac here. So
yeah, this is kind of your song, isn't it?
It's definitely my Friday 5 p.m. song. This is the one, I think.
Well, the return of the weekend for us is here in about 52 minutes. Want to get into more K-State recruiting news. Because the word's kind of gotten out that there is a player from Duke that wants to come to K-State, but does K-State want him?
That's a great question.
It's interesting. I'm going to play Blindly Ranked 5. It's going to be Owen's first time.
First time officially playing, yes.
Okay.
Well, I have played along with DG a couple times, and there's a couple times where I'm like, man, I think my list is better. But I think it was the last one. I don't remember what the last one I was here for. That one was horrible. Like, you got to the third name, and I literally threw my piece of paper away. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, today's topic category, whatever you want to call it, does loop back to yesterday's show. Going to hear from Matt Wells here in just a moment. Had a really nice little meeting with Mike Tamott, who is one of the top guys around here at the radio station, and he's also been doing a lot of work with Sunny 102.5. Have you listened to Sunny 102.5 recently?
Not recently.
There's been some tweaks, and there's been like some added songs and maybe a couple songs taken out because I can be a music snob. But I love music. Love music. I'm not a musician, but I love listening to music. Who doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
But Sonny has always been from the 80s to now. And I'm like, man, what if it was 80s to the early 2000s?
Yeah.
Because like for me, I was just kind of joking around. But there has been a little bit more, you know, some added attitude from those 80s and 90s. And I'm like, okay.
There we go.
Now I'm really feeling this Sunny 102.5.
All right. Maybe I had to listen to it on the way home. I was listening to K-Rock on the way in today. So I usually it's set to Z96.3 on the weekends, but I was listening to some K-Rock today, listened to Dave on the way in this morning. And, maybe I have to check out 102.5 now.
What was this Ask a K-Rocker today?
It was, what fictional vehicle do you want to drive to work in, I think is what it was. I'm trying to remember. I only got to listen to one lady answer. Trying to remember what she said.
I mean, I'm sure they're the DeLorean,
yeah.
Back to the Future. Knight Rider.
Yeah, Knight Rider. Yeah,
Kit.
Kit. Yeah, that's what it is. The lady
I've never seen it.
I haven't either. She said the lady said it's the big metal van with the clown on the front of it. In there's a movie. It's a real famous, and it might be a video. Wait, game say, too.
You're talking about Metal Gear, or a, oh gosh, dang it.
You know what it is.
Twisted Metal?
Maybe. Maybe that's what it is. I'll have to look.
Or it could be, you ever see the movie Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead?
I think I...
Christina Applegate has the guy that she likes, works at a clown fast food restaurant, and he drives his clown truck around with food in it.
I think she may have... I don't know if she was talking about...
I doubt that was an answer.
I doubt she was talking about Twisted Metal, but it is something like that van that you're thinking of.
So, like, Twisted Metal was like... I can't remember if it came out on, like, the original PlayStation, but that used to be a hot game for a while.
It was. I think I rented that from Blockbuster a couple times back in the day.
You're old enough to remember Blockbuster?
I was, yeah. I remember some good Friday nights at Blockbuster.
Let me tell you, as a kid growing up in Little Morganville, who you had to drive 10 miles to go rent a video, renting a video game used to be a really big deal.
It was huge. It was so huge. I am old enough to remember that part. Like going on a Friday afternoon, I've got my friend coming over that night. Like, all right, I got to pick out a new game to play for the evening. Probably pick up a wrestling pay-per-view while I'm here because they usually have four or five in rotation.
Yeah.
And call it a weekend with a case of Mountain Dew, you know?
I rented WrestleMania 6 probably 10 times.
I don't try to think
Hulk of Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior.
Wow.
Was the main event in the Toronto Sky Dome.
Yeah, I think the Blockbuster and Derby had just rotated like whatever was somewhat current and maybe a couple classics. So I watched like Unforgiven in 2006 or like Elimination Chamber.
Real
like,
random.
Yeah, just real random ones.
Our video department, because when I worked at Ray's Album Marketing and Clay Center, still one of my favorite jobs ever. I kind of worked in every little department and had a video department. And I was always run out of video or something or a game and would keep it for a month and somehow fantastic. Got away with it.
That's fantastic. I love that. I don't blame you at all. If I could get away with not taking that disc back on Monday morning, I would.
You want to hear from Matt Wells?
I do want to hear because I'm curious.
K-State quarterback coach, new quarterback coach, K-State co-offensive coordinator. Obviously, you can imagine being the new QB coach was getting asked a lot about Avery Johnson. He and Avery are talking about everything these days.
He's taken an iPad full of notes for the last 2 months, and we talk about everything that ranges from a scheme, how to read things, to progression reads, high lows, half field reads, full field reads, to QB footwork, with the timing of routes, 2 minute mechanics, general 2 minute notes, demeanor. It's been a minute since I've talked to a quarterback about how to call play in a huddle.
Matt Wells, if you're listening right now, I just want you to know there's a couple of reasons why you and Avery you're talking about everything. One, obviously because you're his coach. And he wants to learn everything from you. He is a sponge for information. He wants to be the best quarterback in the nation. He is just such a talented, smart, football-minded kid. But also, I bet he really likes hanging out with you. And that's what I learned about Matt Wells right out of the gate at his first press conference when he was named as a new QB coach. As we got to hear from them, and then afterwards, we had like a... He just talked to the media, shared stories about old wars between K-State and Texas Tech when he was the head coach for the Red Raiders, and his personality really shined. He reminded me of my radio teacher. I don't know, there's probably a better way to put that, but he basically taught, he was the I guess you'd say, program director at that student radio station, KVCO, at Cloud County. John Chapin, shout out to him. A lot of us would just hang out in the radio station. Even if we had class, we would just hang out there beforehand because of John, because he was so much fun to hang around. He could talk about anything. He's a big KU fan, so we would go back and forth. He could talk movies, TV shows, music, politics, anything you wanted to talk about. He was right there for the conversation, a fun guy to hang out with. And that's a big part of why a young guy like me could gravitate towards, at that time, he was about 65 years old.
Yep.
And that's because fun guy to be around with, and we have a ton in common with. So it's just a perfect mesh of a young guy and an older guy, the mentor, the student, a lot to learn from each other. A big part of how Avery is getting better, improving his game, has a lot to do with his body, his mind, because he's got to try to stay healthy if he wants to play the full season.
Gaining weight, gaining strength. And you lift, you eat, you gain weight as a quarterback to get up off the ground and play another snap. You're already going to take 7 to 8 hits in the pocket. That's the cost of doing business, throwing the ball. And then you're going to take some scrambling, but knowing when to get down. Did I get the first down? I'm in the open field and I can slide and I can step out of bounds and be smart.
I was asked the other day, like, how many touchdowns do I think Avery Johnson's going to run in this year? And I was like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know if I really have a prediction on how many touchdowns he's going to run for, how many he's going to pass. But what we do know is, like, the style it's going to be done. What we expect him, like, how we expect him to do it.
Yeah.
And that's by putting on a show and look super impressive and look super athletic and look like a future Heisman Trophy winner. But I like that Coach Wells brought up that part of the game, because maybe you don't think about it as much. But I know I do. And that's because Avery seems like, on the outside looking in, like a delicate flower. Fun to look at. I don't know how I want to go. I just kind of made this analogy up on the spot. Maybe I could have gone a better way. But it's like, what I wanted to get to is, like, if the wind blows too hard, might fall apart.
Yeah, yeah.
What I'm getting at is he's not the biggest guy in the world.
No.
Not the most muscular. Yeah. He doesn't look like your typical quarterback at the Power 5 level. But he is super talented. He's trying to put on the weight, and he is. But it's like, man, what if that first hit comes and he's hurt, you know?
I think he'll do okay.
Like, well, I do too, but it's just in the back of my mind.
Oh, you know, I don't doubt it. I think I'm a little bit more numb to it watching my NFL quarterback. You know, I've went through that for, I think he's entering year 6 or 7 now. So you get used to it after a while, but there's definitely still some plays where Avery's going to get just a hair slow, and your heart's going to stop beating up in the PA box for a couple minutes. But
well, and I got to look at it this way as well. Boy, when is the last time K-State's had a season where a quarterback didn't get hurt and was able to play the full year?
Full year, yeah.
I
was like, you're digging past my memory banks here.
Josh Freeman?
Yeah.
Maybe Josh Freeman?
What was that, 20... What year
2008,
was it?
2008, 2007?
2008.
Because I don't think Carson Kaufman ever started a game. He was Josh Freeman's backup his last 2 years, the last 2 years of Ron Prince. I think it may have been Josh Freeman.
Yeah,
was the last QB to take any hits. But, man, that's why it also kind of really sticks out. You want to protect Avery as much as possible. But also it's like, okay, if he gets hurt, then – you know, Jacob Knuth, you have a true freshman, Blake Barnett behind him. And then you also have also in the QB room, I think is I don't know if Max Marsh is still working in there, but he's a former QB at another level, high school level, but he's, you know, has been taking a whole lot of those reps other than maybe the bowl game prep for the Pop-Tarts Bowl. So let's see what other things we can squeeze in here. Guys that are flashing on offense, according to Matt Wells.
J-Jack flashes every day to me. I love that kid. He's twitchy. He's talented. Keenan is a huge competitor. He is a competitive dude. Competitive catches, strong at the top of routes. He flashes every day because of his effort. Very intense, really good blocker. All those guys are really on the perimeter. They do a nice job.
You know, with the wide receivers, I kind of feel like the same way I felt last year. Heading into spring last year, fall last year, it's like, you know, this group does feel like it has some talent, but I just don't know how good it's going to be.
Yeah, it's got to pop.
It relies on some questions here, because Keegan Johnson, who was hurt a lot last year, he's been injury prone his last 2 years of college football. How healthy will he stay throughout the year is obviously a key factor. He had some flashes, but it was few and far between. Jace Brown is going to be a stud, but I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see his full potential this year. He's still young. You know, we saw him really emerge halfway through last year. And, you know, someday, I don't know if it's going to be this year or years to come, but he is going to be, I think, the top guy at wide receiver someday.
Yeah.
He and Avery have a great connection.
That's
good. They're best buds. It's good to have that connection. But behind them, you know, Jaden Jackson had flashes early in the year, not so much in the second half. Trey Spivey, I think it could be a real dude. Jaquise Spradley Demps, who is a freshman who's coming in, can be real special. I think we'll see some special athletes on the field. I just don't know how many in the rotation. That's the big question, because I know Matthew Middleton, he's not too crazy with his philosophy. He's going to put the best guys on the field. And if it's been four, it's going to be four. If it's six that deserve to be on the field, it's going to be six. Just depends. I hope it can be a nice rotation. There's some dudes on this team, but a lot of them you're not going to see their full potential in year number one. Or, you know, Trey Spivey, who's going to be a redshirt freshman, you know, who had one catch this past year. But I'm really looking forward to Trey Spivey. Yeah. I think at the wide receiver position. And of course, Dante Cephas, but you know, the goal is to find that Kent State Dante Cephas who Matthew Middleton did work with and who had over 1,300 yards a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and I think the scheme of what this offense does overall, because you're sitting here and we open this conversation with how many rushing touchdowns does Avery have this year, and I'm really hoping it's under double digits because I want them to open this up down the field as much as it is going to be obviously a very dangerous offense underneath. And it's also a very good sign that Matt Wells can sit there and say, all of our receivers are pretty good at blocking, because they're going to need to be. I mean, obviously, this is K-State football. They're going to run it. But if they can open up that offense, and I'll tell you, it's a lot easier for those receivers to make the plays downfield when they get more opportunities at them, right? It's like trying to make a game-winning layup. 0.2 seconds left, point blank, no defense. Hardest shot in the world because you should never miss it. But how often do you get that shot in a game? You almost never do. So hopefully they can get the receivers the touches, and that allows for that consistency to kind of build through the scheme.
Well, last clip I'll play from you here from Matt Wells is what he wants the offense to be.
An offense that plays wide open. They're exciting. You know, I'd like to throw the ball to score, and I'd like to run the ball to win. And nothing more satisfying than finishing with the ball in your hands at the end of a football game, pounding people and making first downs and then taking a knee.
You know, you mentioned the, you know, opening up in the passing game, and you know, going back to the previous clip of, you know, guys on offense that have flashed, brought up Joe Jackson, who is running back, will be a redshirt freshman. You know, also, you know, Devon Rice, those are two guys that in high school that were used a lot in the passing game. But more so for Joe Jackson, he lined up as a wide receiver quite a bit. Yeah. So, you know, I keep that in the back of my mind of, you know, when it comes to a true rotation of pass catchers, you're going to have young tight ends like a Garrett Oakley and Braden Lofton, who I don't think you'll see their full potential this year. I think they're going to continue to grow and be awesome, but they're going to play their best football when they get a little bit older. Joe Jackson and Devon Rice, I think either one of them, you have a great opportunity to find. I mean, I don't know which one it'll be, or be both, or just one of them, or I think at least one of them, though, is going to be a really fun factor this year for K-State. Let's take a break. When we come back, kind of maybe do two things here, because I do want to kind of get to there's a Duke transfer that's been out there in Twitter today that maybe very interested to come to K-State, but is K-State interested in him? I think that's in a little bit of an interesting story that is kind of become a thing, but I, you know, shouldn't be really a big thing, really. Blindly Ranked 5, Ask Us Anything, all coming up, if that can all make sense. But I also want to check in with this Royals broadcast that's going to start in a few minutes, because Wyatt Thompson is going to be on the call for the Royals this weekend. That's all coming up.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Check the Royals broadcast. It should have just started. See if Steve Stewart or Wyatt's doing the pregame right out of the gate. be curious to hear it if it's Wyatt. Are you hearing anything? You turned your microphone off.
Yeah, I'm hearing there. I think they're setting him up. Yeah, they're doing all the intros right now still. So but not Wyatt yet.
It's not Wyatt yet, so it's not Steve Wyatt Stewart. Yet.
It's still Steve Stewart.
I figured it'd be Steve Stewart doing the most of the pregame stuff. I didn't know if it would if he's just taking care of all the pregame stuff and Wyatt will join in for the play by play.
Possibly. I'm not sure. I'll try to keep an eye. Yeah,
keep an ear on it. Yeah. And if Wyatt does pop on there, I definitely want to hear it.
Okay. I got you covered.
If you haven't heard, Wyatt Thompson is going to be filling in this weekend for the Royals Radio Network as the Royals will start a three-game series tonight against the New York Mets at Citi Field. It's a stadium I've been to many times. It's a fantastic stadium. And Wyatt Thompson will be making his MLB broadcasting debut tonight. He's doing all three games.
Very exciting stuff.
Yeah, it is. And I know Brian Haney from KU, he'll be filling in for a weekend series. I think it's in Detroit in August.
Oh, there you go.
And I was like, well, where'd you rather go, Detroit or NYC? It's a pretty easy one to me. NYC, go to Flushing to watch the Royals take on the Mets. And by the way, the Royals have won, what, seven games in a row now? And they are the hottest team in baseball. And
the Mets are reeling. So this is probably where the win streak ends because that's baseball. But hopefully they could just keep it rolling right through New York and back to KC.
I think the last game the Mets played, they scored 16 runs against, was it the Rangers?
Was that recently? I'm about to look now.
Well, I think it was. I think it was yesterday.
Maybe I'm just wrong on the Mets. Yeah, you're right. 16-4, but it was Atlanta.
But they have Atlanta. That's right. They have a losing record though.
Yeah, they're
right?
5-7 so far. Yeah, they've had two games against the Tigers postponed and one against the Braves postponed as well.
Meanwhile, tonight here on KMN, you will hear coverage of K-State baseball. The Bat-Cats looking for a game one win against the Oklahoma Sooners. Last trip for the Bat-Cats in Norman for potentially quite some time. As Coach Pete Hughes in his old stomping grounds, Cats and Sooners from Dale Mitchell Park. And tonight, Josh Wintrow will be on the hill for the Cats. Saturday will be lefty and Owen Borma. And Sunday, it'll be right-handed pitcher Blake Dean. And if you caught the show yesterday, we had Pete Hughes on, and I did mention Ty Rule in the interview. And Ty Rule, heading into this year, was going to be a weekend starter. Injury at the beginning of the year, and he has not played the entire year. However, Coach Pete Hughes did say that he is on his way back, and we could potentially see him pitch in 7 to 10 days. So there is a shot that we will see Ty Rule, not this weekend, but next weekend when the Cats come back to town and host the Oklahoma State Cowboys. But this is also a pretty big series because this is K-State's opportunity to stay in the Big 12 race and at the very best could take the lead in the Big 12 as K-State right now tied for third at 7-5. Oklahoma tied for first with West Virginia at 8-4. I did get a laugh of a video that the baseball equipment team, I think it's the equipment team. Yeah, it just says K-State equipment. We're unloading the bus, getting ready for tonight. And who's helping them unload and carry things into the dugout? Robert Lipson. K-State superfan Robert Lipson is on the equipment team.
How about it?
And he is helping the Cats get ready for a win tonight as the Cats, it looks like they're going to be wearing the purple tops tonight.
How about it? Nothing like some Big 12 baseball on a Friday night.
So what they need to do, though, is they need to, in the dugout, they got the big purple hat that I think they put on a guy that hits a home run, maybe.
They need to
put that on Robert, and Robert's got a new profile picture.
There you go.
Anything he happens, I don't think he has any social media, but he does have email. Meanwhile, getting back to K-State basketball here, big weekend for K-State and Jerome Tang because they got a couple of recruits in town. Bobby Miller, who is a 6'11 forward from Florida State, very athletic kid. He has an NBA, NBA upside to him. He has that potential. When it comes to his play, the potential there is, well, he's just getting started. Still some development to get through, but he has plenty of upside, plenty of opportunity. This past season, 8 points, 5 rebounds per ball game. He played 25 minutes of contest. He also led the team with 37 blocks. He also, he actually was suspended for half of the year last year, so or 2 years ago. He played in 16 games as a freshman, averaging 4 points, 4 rebounds a game. The other player is a 6'5 guard, and kind of looked like if he comes to K-State, he could be a replacement for Cam Carter in the starting lineup. That is quite possible, obviously. But he is from the University of Illinois Chicago, C.J. Jones, who also has that NBA upside. There has been some teams looking at him. He is a playmaker. He really is. He's great one-on-one. You'll see this trend in these recruits that are coming into town. Great one-on-one. They would really fit the five-out offense with their athleticism, their quickness. They're good with their feet. C.J. Jones, a real shake-and-bake guy. He can score at all three levels. He was a 38% three-point shooter this past year. And he also averaged 11.5 points, 5 assists per ball game. He's a great passer as well. Boy, what a tandem that would be with Doug McDaniel and how well Doug as a point guard can pass the basketball. Boy, that would really build a solid lineup for the K-State, this K-State team heading into next year. Now, another name that's been making the rounds today as, you know, potentially being in the mix is to becoming a Wildcat is Mark Mitchell. Mark Mitchell, a forward for Duke these past couple of years. He is from Kansas City, Kansas. He played at Sunrise Christian, and now he's in the portal. He was the Duke's fourth best scorer a year ago. But what's interesting about this is that Derek Young beat me to the punch here. DY tweeted it out just a few moments ago that K-State is actually not actively recruiting Mark Mitchell right now. And it's interesting. You know, Mark Mitchell coming out of Sunrise Christian, I think he was a five-star kid, highly recruited. And this past season for Duke, he averaged 11.5 points, 6 rebounds. He shot 54%. His three-point numbers did drop. 6'9", forward, talented. But right now, K-State not actively recruiting him. Word is, though, out there that if they were, he would be very interested in coming to K-State. So very interesting that K-State might be in a position here to pass up on a former five-star recruit.
Yeah, I don't know if you do that often.
No. What it does feel like is K-State does have some options.
Yeah.
They've loaded up early on some visits with the dead period coming to an end. Again, two NBA caliber players in their future potentially coming into town for visits this week. And then don't forget about the player I'm really excited about to just have in town and have the door open to recruit him and land him potentially is Umar Ballo from Arizona. He's out of Arizona. He has 1 year of eligibility remaining, 13 points, 10 rebounds, a block and a half per game last year, 66% around the rim. He is a dynamite rebounder, a putback guy. He is just a strong, physical, and a guy you do not want to guard at that five position.
Not at all.
He will post up high paint, make one move, and you're doomed.
Yeah, he is a very athletic and strong. You know, Matt Wells is talking about twitchy with some of the receivers. Like, this guy's 6'11 and pure muscle and is just about as twitchy underneath the rim.
And don't forget about Terrace Reed, who, coming out of Michigan, is also another big that is very athletic and can make plays around the hoop one-on-one. You can start him out in the perimeter and really spread things out. Again, five-out offense. The athletes, K-State, just didn't have enough of them this past season. It appears that K-State could very well have some options to go with at the five, but we'll see how this plays out, get through this weekend, and potentially more to report on Monday. And you never know. Even through the weekend, there might be something come up. All right, any wide updates? Have we heard them on the broadcast yet?
I have not heard them yet. Let me peek again.
All right. Owen is right now checking in to see if Wyatt's doing any pregame coverage for the Royals, because if he is, we are going to listen to it. We're going to listen to a little bit of it. I'd really like to hear it.
Currently in a commercial break.
All right. Well, we'll take one ourselves.
How about that?
And when we come back, let's play a little Blindly Ranked 5. Owen in the hot seat after these words. Let's play Blindly Ranked 5 with Owen. Welcome back to the game. Mitch and Owen with you. Just us two today, taking you through the rest of the week here. We'll wrap it up the week on Friday. We have K-State Baseball kicking off at 6 o'clock. Pre-game coverage at 6. First pitch, 6:30 from Norman, Oklahoma. The Cats taking on the Oklahoma Sooners. Matt Walters on the call tonight. Owen, how well do you know college football traditions?
I think I know a decent bit, hopefully enough to at least get me through 5 of them.
Was a bit of a topic yesterday, so let's continue it today. Blindly rank 5 however you want, college football traditions.
Here we go.
You can rank them however you want. You'll get them one at a time. You don't know what's coming next until you rank the first one here. He's got a pen. He's got a piece of paper. Here we go. Your first college football tradition is the Midnight Yell at Texas A&M. It is the night before football games at Kyle Field. Students, whoever else, thousands of people gather at Kyle Field to learn the latest cheers. But also, before the whole cheering stuff starts, the elected yell leaders in their overalls get the crowd really pumped up, a little trash talk. This went viral last year.
Y'all, I had to Google this team to make sure that they're even real. I was really confused because Appalachia is definitely not a state. But sure enough, I found them, and they're located deep, and I mean deep, in the backwoods. Just like you would think any hillbilly college that names themselves the Mountaineers. I just hope that these guys can get here tomorrow all right, because I know for a fact that half of their football team can barely even read the name on their jerseys, let alone read a map. It's a shame that the only two brain cells that all these guys have left are going to get knocked out by our wrecking crew defense tomorrow.
Got him.
Yeah, sounds like an Austin Theory promo. That's what that sounds like. Just blatant gibberish. Some of it you're like, that's kind of okay, I guess. My struggle with this one is, how much worse are you going to go than that? Like,
it was pretty, and I'm sure it's got to be somewhat PG, but
I'm like, I don't know if you're saving the Woo Pig Arkansas in here for me or not.
You play in the SEC, you can use a lot of this material for opponents down the whole schedule.
Now, the thing is, like, the potential for this event is through the roof. If you can get somebody that can talk up there, cut yourself a little promo, great. That kid does not have a future with a microphone in his hand. I'm going to put Texas A&M at 5.
Wow. Okay.
I'm gonna go 5. That it was just off the how can I listen to that clip and go like, yeah, I'll put that higher on my list. Come on.
All right, your next college football tradition. So it's called the Sod Cemetery. So Florida State has been doing this for years. And that's whenever they play on the road as an underdog, or they are playing in the swamp, or they're playing in an ACC championship game or a bowl game. All those scenarios. If the Seminoles win, they take a small piece of the turf from the field, take it back to Tallahassee, and then they promptly bury it. And then they put a marker displaying the game and the score. Hmm. And this cemetery is full of... Now, there's probably 50 of them at least. Probably at least 100, actually,
yeah,
at this point.
Yeah, probably quite a few. What were the occasions again?
Again, it was if they play on the road as an underdog, that's one. There's 4 of them. On the road as an underdog, at Florida,
okay,
ACC championship game, or a bowl game, and they're victorious.
Mm. So they got to win those games, then they're taking a piece of side back. I kind of like that. I think that's kind of cool. I'm going to keep the expectations low. I think you got some heavy hitters coming. I'm going to put... What'd you call it, the Sod Cemetery?
Sod Cemetery.
I'm going to put that at 3 on my list.
Sod Cemetery at 3, Midnight Yell at 5. I think the Sod Cemetery is super weird, but it is cool at the same time.
I agree. Like, you imagine if, like, Alabama did that? And, like, they would probably take, obviously, they would never have an underdog on the road game, really, in Nick Saban's time frame. But, like, you imagine how large that sod field is every time they played at Auburn for an Iron Bowl or for a national title game and not a bowl game? That's quite a bit of sod.
Tradition number 3, you've heard of the tortilla toss, at Texas Tech. At Penn, they do the toast toss. So this happens after the third quarter of home football games. And Quakers, when they're singing Drink a Highball, the last line is sung, "Here's a toast to dear old Penn." And during that line, fans will throw toast onto the field.
This is every third quarter?
This is after every third quarter.
What?
Heading into the fourth. It's not quite jump around at Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's not jump around. It's not like holding the four fingers up on the sideline. We're throwing toast on the field. Man, I think I'm setting myself up for a disappointing end, but I'm going to put the toast tossed at four.
Okay.
I'm leaving my top spots open.
So Sod Cemetery at three, the toast toss at four, Midnight Yell for A&M is at five. So you have two left. We are ranking blindly five college football traditions. Your fourth on the list here is called Fourth Year Five. This takes place at the University of Virginia. So seniors, they take the consumption of alcohol to new heights. So this is prior to the final home game of the year. Seniors at UVA will down an entire fifth, equals 25 shots. I'm sure they get help. Before kickoff.
Good.
This is game day before kickoff. They drink a fifth of liquor.
Every game day?
No, just the final one.
The final game.
The final game, and it's seniors.
Final game is seniors.
Fourth year five.
Oh, my God. I mean, off college accolades alone, I mean, that's a pretty high bar to set. Like, people talk about like the nine inning challenge and everything in baseball. That is 25 shots for kickoff. That's gonna go at two.
Okay,
I'm gonna play it safe at two. I'm really, if you put me a stinker here, I'm gonna be upset.
Well, you may remember this from yesterday.
No way.
My final tradition, and this is more than just college football for Arkansas.
Come on, all you Razorback fans, let's stand.
I got to stop it right there. I am so happy, first of all, and I know I got a little heat on this for Twitter for kind of bashing, calling the Hogs of Arkansas, but it is weird. It's really weird. Boy, I'm sure, you know, Midnight Yell has plenty of material when Arkansas comes to town or wherever they play those games at Jerry World or whatever. But as a PA announcer myself, I couldn't tell you how thrilled I am that I don't have to go or at some point say in pregame, "All right, K-State fans, let's call those cats."
Yeah, I can agree with you. I'm glad you got to
keep
it simple.
I would hate that so much.
You just say call the cats, everybody starts meowing in the stadium or just tries to roar. Just do something.
Okay, maybe that would be hilarious.
It might be funny the first couple times. I could definitely see that.
No, it's not. They're not meowing. They're going, "Here, kitty, kitty, kitty."
Yeah, there it is. There you go. That's how you get pumped up on a Saturday afternoon right there at the stadium.
All right, here's the whole thing.
Come on, all you Razorback fans. Let's stand up and call those home.
Isn't that just a good time?
It is. I mean, like I said, it's a great Saturday afternoon in my book. And it's apparently my number one college football tradition. So,
listen, if I was living in Arkansas and my job was to call in the Hogs, I would prefer a day off on a Saturday.
It's very fair.
That's stupid. All right, we got a couple of minutes left before Matt Walters is standing by to call a little K-State baseball. We have pregame starting at 6. So, Owen, go ahead and get us out when we need to get out. Let's just jump right into a little Ask Us Anything. Go right ahead. Here's the music. Here we go. Party time.
Party time indeed, my friend. Unless you've got a question ready to fire, I got to get my sheet pulled up here.
No, I don't. I don't have anything. Yeah.
I wasn't well prepared. How about this one for you?
Go ahead.
What is the easiest, the thing that you lose track of time the most of? Is it you playing video games? Maybe you're at work where you look up and you're
I got a great answer for this. So Lindsay and I have just recently got into jigsaw puzzles.
Oh, okay.
And 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzles are extremely time-consuming.
Yeah.
It's not like one took us like 2 weeks to get done, but I finished it this morning, and all of a sudden, like, I had 50 pieces to go, and it took like 2 hours, and it felt like 15 minutes.
Really? You're just
I was like, holy crap.
Just killed half the day.
That was an incredible way to lose track of time. Jigsaw puzzles.
How about it? That is not an answer I expected. I was expecting the cop-out video games. That'd be mine.
No, and I another thing is I was just in such a zone. I was in the zone.
It's
I was focused.
You got your brain moving this morning. That's what that was.
Well, yeah, because it's your eyes are really trying to pay attention to detail.
Yeah, especially of 50 of 1,000 pieces. Like, you're that close.
So it takes focus. Got it done.
I don't know if I have the mental fortitude to get that done. Video games, I definitely think, is probably my answer. It could be any game. It could be 2K, especially if I have friends that are playing with me. I'm like, she's like, hey, are you going to, do you want to watch a movie? I'm like, we're playing games. She's like, you've been playing for 6 hours. And I was like, it's dark outside. That's cool. Didn't notice that.
All right, K-State fam, don't go anywhere because coming up next, we have coverage of K-State baseball as Matt Walters is standing by from Norman, Oklahoma, as the Cats and Sooners open up a 3-game series tonight. First pitch at 6:30, and pregame coverage is just a couple of minutes away. Plus, don't forget, we have K-State baseball all weekend long. It is a 4 o'clock first pitch on Saturday and 2 o'clock on Sunday again. And this is a big series because we're talking top of the leaderboard in the Big 12 is on the line this weekend. A huge series for the Mad Cats in Norman. For Owen, I'm Mitch. Go Cats.